over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 54, excuse me, Isaiah chapter 54. I was looking at 53, but I wanted to say 54. But I did want to say this when we look at Isaiah chapter 54. You need to pay attention to the fact that Isaiah chapter 54 comes after Isaiah chapter 53, and not just because they're numerically that way. Isaiah chapter 53 talks about Jesus. Dying for our sins. About Him being made sin for us. And about the iniquity of us all being laid upon Him. And then Isaiah chapter 54 says, "Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should go no more over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. And I will make thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncles and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." Now, Father, thank you for the word of God that we've just read. And I pray, Lord, you'd help me be a blessing in this day. Lord, this is supposed to be our prayer meeting, the time when we pray for others and hopefully pray for our own self, that we might make things right with you. And Lord, so often we get so burdened down with the things that we battle with on a weekly basis that we miss and we don't understand what we ought to understand. So Lord, we thank you for all that you've given. And we just thank you for this scripture. We pray that you'd bless the preaching of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, there is so much here to unpack, but what we understand by this passage of scripture is God is speaking primarily to the nation of Israel. And this is one of those passages of scripture that talks of Israel's redemption. But the wonderful thing about it is, we know that Jesus didn't just die for the nation of Israel. We know that he shed his blood for all mankind. And so these promises that God made to Israel, we will be, as believers, we will in some manner be partaker of that. As a matter of fact, we'll be rejoicing when God does this and God keeps his word to the nation of Israel. And we'll be looking at that time. And Israel has been under a curse, under a blindness for well over 2,000 years now. Or around 2,000 years. I don't know. I'd have to go figure up all the time. And they have literally been separated from their God. They have not been able to do anything that God told them that they were supposed to be doing as the nation of Israel in the worship of Him. They can't do the sacrifices. They can't do any of these things. They've been persecuted to the ends of the earth. They're still persecuted today. They have enemies all around them. And we know that as we go through history, there's going to come a time where there will be a final war in that place right there on the plains of Megiddo. That's why they call it Armageddon. It's going to be there. The nations of the earth are going to come and gather there. And they're going to be against God's people. And they're going to be against the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And He's going to destroy them all. And so this nation of Israel will have, if the rapture should come today, there would be at least a 7-year period in which Israel would continue to be persecuted before their final redemption. But I call your attention to verse 7. He says, "For a small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should go no more over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on us, mercy on thee." God is saying to that wayward nation, God is saying to that nation that has turned their backs on Him, that when Pilate told them that Jesus was innocent. They said, His blood be upon us and upon our children. That's pretty heavy right there. And they have borne the consequences of that decision till this day. But God comes back and He says, look, it's been over 2,000 years now. It's been all this time, and God says this. He says, for a small moment have I forsaken thee. For a small moment have I forsaken. A small moment? 2,000 years, brother? That's a small moment. And He said, for He said, let me go back to where I was. He said, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. So how can God say it's a small moment? And I want you to understand something tonight. When we look at the Word of God and we look at what God says throughout the Scripture, and if we ever wrap our head around what eternity is, 2,000 years in relation to eternity is nothing. And God's love being everlasting, and with everlasting kindness, if that kindness is everlasting, 2,000 years, 10,000 years, 20,000 years. That was a Brother Butch Carson got saved under a pastor by the name of Burton Squires. And Brother Butch was the one that told me when we were singing Amazing Grace, he would always sing it different. And Brother Squires was the one that told him how to sing that. And I don't know if somebody told Brother Squires that or something like that, but when they got to that point, when we've been there 10,000 years, they didn't say 10,000 years. They said, when we've been there forevermore, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Because we look at that time frame, we look at this picture that God gives us of eternity, and the best definition of eternity that I've ever heard is you can be there forever and you got forever to go. Yeah. It never ends. Eternity has no ending. It will never stop. And it just shows you the glory of our God, because we'll get to heaven and we'll see. We get bored in 5 minutes, don't we? But there won't be any boredom in heaven, will there? Now, some of that has to do because of our sin nature, because we want pleasure all the time. But God said, at thy right hand are pleasures evermore. By the way, His right hand is Jesus. But the simple fact is, there will be something there that is greater, and Israel's 2,000, or if it turns out to be 3,000, or whatever it is, I don't think it's going to last that long, but whatever the case it may be, you know, if I'm wrong on that, it's still going to be a small moment. But like I said, Jesus didn't just die for the Jewish nation. He died for us, didn't He? And we get bound and defeated by so many things. It's so easy to get discouraged. You read the news and you look at what's going on in the world, it's discouraging. We have to deal with things that people have done to us, and it's discouraging. We have to deal with the ravages of age and ill health, and it's discouraging. And we read the Word of God, and we know that suffering in this world is something that we have been called to. You don't have to try very hard to suffer any. If you want to suffer persecution, do right, talk right. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You don't have to go pick a fight. All you have to do is do right. All you have to do is talk right. You don't have to go, you know, all these people going out there and you just go out and tell the truth and they'll accuse you of being the one that started the fight. You know? You tell the truth, they'll start shooting and say you shot first. That's the way it is. And sometimes it seems so hard and so difficult. But God looks at some period of over 2,000 years and He says to the nation of Israel, He says, "For a small moment have I forsaken thee. But with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer." And he gives the promise just like he gave the promise of the flood of Noah. And we have not, nor will we ever have, a worldwide flood again. And God's promise not to flood the earth, that's a whole lot longer than the time that Israel's been suffering. And He's kept His word all that time, hadn't He? Amen. And God says, "It's going to be like that. I'm going to make a promise, and I'm going to keep it." And He's going to do that. But you know, we get so caught up, but we miss the picture because we're bound in time, and our trials, our tribulations, and all these things. That we go through, they seem like, oh, they're just never going to end. They just get worse and worse. I mean, age is a downhill run. You know, youth is an uphill climb and age is a downhill run. You get there and it just seems like you're going down faster. And then you have health issues and all the different things, and some of those things are our fault, some of them are not our fault. We suffer for our own foolishness oftentimes. We don't take care of ourselves the way we should. There's a lot of different reasons why we have suffering and everything, but it gets to wear on us, doesn't it? It beats on us. Family problems, work problems, the problems that we have with the culture, church problems, health problems, age problems. I stand here today and there are many, a man that preached the gospel that growing up as a young Christian I admired greatly and then had to sit there and listen to the news of their failure. That's a discouraging thing for any Christian. What happens when a pastor falls? So many people just quit, don't they? Act like there's no good pastor anywhere to find that can do anything, that can be a blessing to them, that can help them. There's a lot of people go that way. And that's just a sad thing. There's no excuse for it. You're supposed to be following Jesus, not the preacher. You're only supposed to follow the preacher if he's following Jesus. If he's not following Jesus, get you another preacher. Real simple. But people don't do that. And those are self-inflicted wounds. But I'm just saying, there's so many things, and we get to feeling so beat down and so run down, and we feel like, oh, I'll never make it. I don't know why. I don't know why. We get all caught up in our feelings. We stop living by faith. We stop believing God. And that just compounds the problem. And we're sitting here, we're looking at this, and we're looking in the Old Testament, we're looking at what God said to the nation of Israel, and by extension to us, by the way. And none of us will have to wait 2,000 years. We won't have to watch generation after generation after generation of people die with no hope and only a small remnant. Israel's had to do that as a nation. But God says to us that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh in us a far more eternal and exceeding weight of glory. You and I, we struggle on this day, Brother Donnie. We struggle through our life. We have problems. We have to take care of our families. We have to be there. It's tiring. We have to try to make a life, make a living, and all these things. And on top of it all, we're supposed to live like nobody else. And we're supposed to forgive like nobody else. And we're supposed to love like nobody else. And the flesh comes in and says, well, what about me? What about me? That's the way that's the battle we fight. Because we don't have the right perception. We get to looking at the things which are seen instead of the things that are unseen. Brother Moses, it said in Hebrews chapter 11, endured as seeing him who is invisible. And we go through the scripture and we see this and we act like, oh, it's just going to take so long. But that's not true. Because God said, that his mercies, when he gives them in that way, when Israel gets that day and has that mercy, when they as a nation turn to Jesus as their Savior, when he cometh with clouds and every eye shall see him, and even they that pierced him, and they'll weep for him and they'll mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and God will redeem them and God will deliver them and save them from the nations around them. Those people that are saved at that time, they will see and understand something that you and I should already know. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth unto me shall come unto me. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Our life's just a vapor and a mist. But we have the promise of our Heavenly Father. We have the promise of our Savior. We have the promise of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish.
That's right.
Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand."
That's right.
You say, "Brother, I'm at my wit's end. I don't think I can go on." You ever feel that way? I do. There's times I get on my knees before God and say, "Lord, I don't know. What's the point?" That's the way I feel. But that's just a feeling. Feelings change. That's why the devil wants you to live with your feelings. We have a culture now where people are determining whether they're a man or a woman or whatever they want to call themselves based upon merely how they feel. But it's not truth, is it? Feelings are not truth. Truth can evoke feelings, and that's not a bad thing. I'm not against feelings. God gave you feelings. But how you feel is not the truth. And the only way that we can see what we need to see and understand what we need to understand about the trials and the difficulties we face in this world as Christians, and just as the fact that we're people and we live in this world, we have to be able to see that this time is less than a moment. It's nothing. If 2,000 years is a small moment, what's 70 years? In God's economy. What's 80 years? What's 100 years? What's 120? Brother Methuselah lived for 969 years, longest person to live in the Bible. Died the year of the flood. Because his very name was a prophecy of God's coming judgment. And he lived 969 years. He lived longer than anybody else. And that's another testimony to the grace of God. But God looked at all the things that he said about Israel. And you could conceivably take this back further. You could go to the book of Ezekiel when the glory of God left. That was long before Christ came. God says, "For a small moment I've forsaken thee." If we're going to make it as godly Christians, we've got to stop looking inward. Stop looking at how we feel. We've got to stop looking at the constraints of time that are placed upon us because we live in these mortal bodies. And we've got to start believing God's Word. Your light affliction is but for a moment. If you go back and you read Fox's Book of Martyrs and other testimonies of Christian martyrs throughout the year, you see people that were burned alive. Your light affliction, which is but for a moment. People that were beheaded. People that were tortured. There are Christians today that are being tortured. And it's hard for us to understand the why and the how of everything that God allows. But God didn't lie to us. He told us things like this was going to happen. He said, the time cometh when he that killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And we've seen that happen over and over again, haven't we? But your light affliction, which is but for a moment, for a small moment, I've forsaken thee. God's never far away. But you know something? Israel, here's one difference between us and the nation of Israel. From the day you get saved, God's Spirit comes and dwells in you. The Bible says that in Ephesians chapter 1:12, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Spirit comes to live inside and indwells us. And if we go to the book of Hebrews chapter 13, we find out something. God said to the nation of Israel, for a small moment have I forsaken thee. But when we look at the scriptures and we look at what we have, we might, well, you could live 70, 100 years feeling like your Lord had forsaken you. But it wouldn't be true. See, we have the wonderful promise of salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And then once we're saved eternally. He told us he would in no wise cast us out. He told us we would never perish, and no man could pluck us out of his hand, and no man could pluck us out of his Father's hand, and no man, and we're sealed by the Spirit of God. And the Ephesians 4:30 tells us the day of that sealing, we're sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. And so we know all of that. But you know what? You might feel like God's forsaken you for a moment, but that's a lie. Because we as believers today, as Christians today, Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You see, if you and I are going through our trials and our difficulties and our hard times and our hard days and our difficult moments and the persecutions and the tribulations of this world, whatever it may be, whether we're here in America where we're still mostly free and just about the worst that's going to happen is somebody's going to say something ugly about you or ugly to you. Or you might be somewhere in a nation, in a Muslim nation, where you're treated like a second-class citizen and you're persecuted, or in a communist country, or in a Hindu country, or whatever the case may be, where they openly persecute believers and sometimes kill them. You might be somewhere, but God will you can never really say that he's forsaken us for even a small moment, because he promised he would never leave us. I'm talking about how you feel versus what is true. How you feel versus what is true. Boy, I've had people tell me all the time, I don't feel like my prayers got past the ceiling. Bible tells me the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that can't be uttered, even though we don't know what to pray for. I mean, God's taking every eventuality. You say, I don't think my prayers made it past the ceiling. I don't feel like they made it past the ceiling. Well, then you're calling God a liar, and you need to repent. You need to believe God. I'm just simply saying He never leaves us nor forsakes us. You know, we have what we call the Great Commission, right? Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them. Matter of fact, let me go back and let me do it right. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. We look in the Old Testament and we see what God says to Israel. And we see the great mercy of God to Israel. But you know something? When I read that passage there where it says God has forsaken Israel for a small moment, and then I get into the scriptures, and we would like to identify with that, and I understand that, but it's not true. He's never forsaken you. If you're His child, He has never forsaken you. And it really doesn't matter how you feel. And the victory comes when we believe God. Oh, it's, I had a hard time today, preacher. I know, I understand. I've had those days too. But our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works something for us. Staying faithful gains us something, doesn't it? Doing right gains us something. I'll never hear God say, for a small moment I have forsaken thee. Never. Because He's already promised me, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Glory to God. You ought to get excited about that. You ought to be happy. Just think about it. I will. He says to Israel, and He says about that 2,000 years or 3,000 years or whatever it ends up being, going through the scriptures, He says, for a small moment I have forsaken thee. But He says to me, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. If I live to the end of this world, He'll be with me. And if I die before then, I'll go to be with Him. Amen. Wow. That's all I can say is wow. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Isn't it going to be good when Israel can know that we know now? Wouldn't it be good if people would believe God about what they have right now? If believers, if Christians would believe God about what we have right now, wouldn't it be amazing? We look forward to the day when Israel will believe God again. And we get to believe Him today. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, I do thank You for this time that You've given us. And I just pray You bless each one with understanding of Your Word. And Lord, help us to realize that You are there and You will never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, we grieve about the things we read in the Bible about the nation of Israel, and we look at our culture and we see people walking away from the truth, and even in the churches. But to those who truly believe, who are truly born again, we have to understand that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. That You'll never leave us nor forsake us. And we may suffer affliction, but it's not really anything at all. And our affliction is far less than the affliction that the nation of Israel suffered because of the rejection of the Messiah. Lord, we'll never know that. We thank you for it. Now help us, regardless of how we feel, and regardless of our circumstances, regardless of what people do or say, help us to believe your word. And help us to always turn our hearts to you, knowing that you are indeed there. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.